Welcome to Think Like an Integrator, a podcast for business visionaries who love to dream but lack a team to do it all. I'm your host and integrator, Kat Schmoyer. When you know how to integrate, you will always be able to innovate. I'm here to tell you how. Welcome to the show. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Think Like an Integrator. This entire month, we have really focused in on copywriting, and I hope it's been really helpful for you guys as we've talked about how you know if you're ready to outsource your copy. We've talked about email flow and the five-part framework that one of our copywriters, Meg, recommends. And we've also talked about copy on a sales page. And kind of the seven essentials to sales page copy. Today, we're still talking about copy, but with a little bit of a different spin to kind of close out our month. I've asked Riley to come back on, and you guys have met her in like some past episodes. She's one of our project managers. So she's jumping on today, and we're going to talk through evergreen emails and kind of the flow of evergreen emails, different types of evergreen email sequences, and just the fun that Riley and I have with evergreen emails because we both love them a lot. So I'm excited to kind of dig into this a little bit more with Riley. So Riley, thank you for jumping back on the podcast with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about this.
Yeah. I know you've been on the team now for a year, which feels wild also. Like I'm like, has it really been a year? But also we've known each other our whole lives at this point. So
So true.
Yeah. And I feel like we've done so much with evergreen emails. Obviously, it's a huge part of quite a few of our clients' brands when they're a digital product creator and they're wanting to truly look at things from a passive perspective of how can we get some automated emails in place. But before we get like too in the weeds with evergreen emails, I think it would be helpful to just make sure that we're all on the same page. Like everybody listening understands like what is an evergreen email and like why does it have the potential to be such a game changer for a business?
Yeah. So evergreen emails are emails that are put on automation. So they're different from live launch emails where you are going in and manually adding and manually scheduling and sending them to a specific group of people during a live launch or even during if you have newsletters that you send out once a week or once a month. Those are email campaigns. And so then these automated emails are emails that you set up and then put a trigger before. So for example, one example of an automated email is for a nurture sequence. So when somebody fills out a form on your website, your email sending service triggers it, and then they will start getting these automated emails that go out afterwards.
Yes. And I feel like I can already think of like so many different reasons why that's important. And maybe you guys listening to this, maybe you're having some light bulb moments of like, oh, this would be really helpful to like attach to this lead magnet that you have or add to the form, like a pop-up form on your website for joining your newsletter, like things like that. But Riley, let's like touch on a couple of like specific reasons why every business needs some sort of evergreen email flow.
Right. So because you're a digital business, people can access your content at any point of the day or night, which is exciting, but can also feel a bit daunting because you want to be ready to serve your audience no matter when they come to you. So if you have something that is on evergreen or you have already have these automated emails set up, no matter when someone comes to you, they can get a touch point with you. So that way you can be nurturing them, helping them to get to know you. You can be pitching them different products that you have or just delivering really valuable content that you have no matter where they're at in their journey with you. And that way they don't have to wait until the next time you open cart to be given the opportunity to get something from you because they're your hottest leads because they just came in or they've been with you for a while and you want to continue that relationship that you already have with them. So it's important to be able to have these consistent touch points with your people.
Absolutely. And I mean, honestly, the key word there, I think, is just the consistency part of this. Like, that's what's so life-giving in my mind to an evergreen email sequence is that you do not have to scramble and think about like, oh, I didn't email my list today or this week. Like, if you have some of those things set up on the back end, they are getting consistently reached out to via email. And then that person is getting used to you, getting used to seeing you pop into their inbox. inbox and reading your content on a regular basis.
Right. And some real life examples of this that we see with some of our clients are, we've been working with a client on getting several different types of funnels set up for them. Some of them are freebies, where after they download a freebie, they get a certain amount of emails and then they'll get pitched a tiny offer. And then after that tiny offer, they get nurtured some more and then they get pitched a more high ticket product. And as we set up those nurture emails and pitch emails, we were realizing that the top of the funnel, which was that freebie and then pitching the tiny offer, was converting really well. But then after that, there was this drop off where nobody ended up buying the more high ticket items. So we knew in this sequence, there's a disconnect here with their audience. So we need to try something else, because we can tell they're engaging, but they're not purchasing. So also, evergreen emails really help with testing. That way you can also tell for live launches and for evergreen launches what will work really well for your offerings.
Absolutely. I also think it's important for those of you guys listening that maybe you're like, well, I don't have an offer yet, or maybe you're still service-based and you're kind of starting to branch into like the digital product side of things. So you're growing your list, you've got like your first lead magnet live, things like that. There is still so much importance to having an evergreen funnel on the back end, even if it's not sales driven. Now, obviously, the sales like evergreen emails are the ones that are like making money in your sleep, you know, quote unquote, like they're on all the time and you're hopefully able to convert buyers throughout that process. But that's not the only type of evergreen. So Riley, when we were talking before, we kind of broke down like three main types of evergreen email flows. I'd love to talk through like those three. And then that way you guys listening, like maybe it's, again, it's not sales driven for you, but there are still some other things you could set up to have some consistent nurturing in place.
Right. So one of the types that we've talked about is welcome sequences. So these type of emails are sent to people who are fresh on your list. So whether they came in through a form on your website that says like, want to know more about X, Y, and Z, I drop weekly emails about this, sign up here. When they get signed up, somebody who you just met probably isn't willing to buy something from you right away. They need to get to know you first. So this is a set of emails that's set up over a specific period of time that introduces you, tells your story, and then probably also tells stories of people who you serve. That way they can identify with you and identify with other people in your audience so that they know that they're in the right place with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the welcome sequence can be something that, like Riley said, it's absolutely introducing you and what you do, and also can point to other ways that they can connect with you. If you have a YouTube channel, if you have a podcast, if you don't have those things and you just want them to go to your Instagram, like you can still give them more information about you and where to learn from you so that they feel even more excited to be in your ecosystem and they truly feel welcomed there.
Right. And I also think that a good rule of thumb here is to be really generous with your people up front. Mm-hmm. So give them those nuggets of wisdom to help them know that you are the guru in your space and that they can trust you and love you. Send them other freebies or other resources, because that really helps them to know that you are somebody that they can go to for the information they're looking for.
Absolutely. And the welcome sequence doesn't have to be crazy long. I think, and you can absolutely speak to this too, Riley, but I feel like the majority of our clients, it's like a 3 to 5 email sequence. Right. Like it's not crazy long. And all of those emails are happening like within the first week. Right. Because again, these people are hot. Like they have just signed up for your email list. So let's give them what they've asked for. Let's start emailing them and really repel and attract in that email, you know, ecosystem, so that this person knows what to expect from you. And you can really start to, as Riley said, like give them all of this content to warm them up even more for a potential pitch down the road.
Right. I think that's something I see a lot of the time whenever I dig into the weeds of someone's business, is in the initial welcome sequence, almost like 9 out of 10 times, I'll tell someone to shorten the delay in between their emails. Because I'll notice when I go in and look at someone's welcome sequence is they'll get one email, they might wait a week and get another email, wait another week and get another email. But like Kat said, you really want to make good use of your time within that first week of getting to know them because you're top of mind. Then after those first initial 3 to 5 emails, you can switch it to be more like once a week in their inbox, once a month, whatever your normal rhythm is. But that first week is really key when someone is first on your list.
Absolutely. And think about how you read emails. And maybe this is just because I'm like slightly nerdy about like email funnels, but I feel like recently I literally did this. I signed up for someone's email list and I didn't have time to read the email. So I leave it unread and like starred as like a to-do. Like, I'm going to go back. I want to read it. And then a couple days later, I got the next one and I'm like, oh, now I have 2 emails from this person that I need to read. But like, I personally like left them unread. Like, I wanted to intentionally spend time reading them because I'd opted into their email list for a reason. And so I think you can think about that too, so that you don't feel like you're like overwhelming people with too many emails too soon.
Right.
So another part of, like we mentioned, like 3 types of evergreen funnels. So that first one, welcome sequence. Another one that is not sales driven is the value driven nurture email. So can you speak to that a little bit, Riley?
Right. So this, you can think it's kind of similar to a welcome sequence because, again, welcome sequences do nurture, they do give value, but those are more for new people on your list. So these value-driven nurture sequences are for people who are on your list, but maybe they're getting into different aspects of freebies that you have. So if they download a freebie, then they get a series of nurture emails that go along with that freebie, helping them work their way through it so that they really can feel like they can digest it. So these emails are hand-holding them as they walk through different things with you. You can do this with freebies. You can also do this with paid products. So if someone is new inside your community, your membership, your course, I think retention is a really big deal in that type of realm. And so if somebody is new in a membership, you don't want them to hop in and hop out really quick because they weren't nurtured and handheld right away. And so it's really important to have a set of emails after they join a product like that to handhold them, walk them through your membership, walk them through the course, and help them to see the value in it. That way you're not pitching them something new, but you're helping them digest it.
Absolutely. I love that. I also think these types of sequences are really great to reuse existing content that you have. So some of you guys, maybe you've, you know, been an entrepreneur for a while and you were blogging when blogging was like the thing to do, you know, so you have a lot of written content on your blog, or maybe you've had a YouTube channel for a while and you have some videos that maybe they're a couple of years old, but they're actually still really relevant to the work that you're doing now. Let's reuse some of that. We don't even have to like point people back to the blog. You can literally take that blog and just turn it into an email and give them the content right in their email without any sort of CTA to take them out of their inbox. Just provide the content right there. Same thing for a YouTube video. Maybe you do point them to the video, or maybe you take that video and you say, you know what, this doesn't have to really be visual. Let me just give them the 3 things that I talk about directly in the email. And so there's a lot of ways that you can reuse the content that you already have that maybe people have forgotten that you have, or they just don't know to go there and turn it into an evergreen email sequence.
Yeah, that's great. So then the 3rd type of email sequences that we want to talk about is sales and conversion emails, which these are the ones that we've been talking about, how to build know, like, and trust with the welcome sequence and then with nurture emails. So now that you've been doing that work, now we have these sales and conversion. So Kat, what do you want to explain what those are?
Yeah, so this is the one that's probably maybe something that you think of the most when you think of an evergreen sequence, because it's evergreen, like it's always green. So it's pointing to a product that is always available. And maybe in this specific sequence, you're stressing urgency and a price point. You know, they're getting an exclusive discount for 72 hours, or there's an extra bonus that's included in that time frame. But the product is available. They could go to your website and grab it, or they can grab it here, like in this funnel. And so something that, you know, Riley and I like to do when we're working with clients is set up the evergreen email flow to sell to them, but we're also nurturing before that sale. And so maybe we're stacking this one underneath of that value-driven nurture sequence so that they've gotten a lot of value, they've really understood who you are and what you're doing, and now they're getting pitched something. Or going back to the case study of the client example that Riley shared before, you know, they were getting pitched a sales email sequence towards the top of the funnel. It was, they'd come in, they'd grabbed a tiny offer, they were hot, like they just purchased something. So let's try to get them to purchase something else. And so we kind of moved them right into it. So again, there's different ways that you can kind of test out what that purchase sequence, that conversion sequence can look like. But the point of this is to truly sell, hard pitching the product that you have.
Right. And you also want to keep in mind with these sequences where they're coming from beforehand. Yes. So you don't want to make it out of left field if you've been nurturing them on a certain type of lead magnet and then pitch a course or a membership that really doesn't have anything to do with the type of lead magnet they came from. That will feel a little bit daunting to them and that won't convert as well. So You want to keep in mind how long they've been, like potentially if you know how long they've been on your list, depending on if they came from a lead magnet, and just make sure that the next step makes sense for them, that will really help with conversion.
Absolutely. And usually when we're writing a pitch sequence, we have two nurture emails at the beginning of that sequence. So for example, they might have come in from a freebie. They downloaded a freebie. They've come in, you've sent them a handful of emails, really nurturing them about that freebie. And now we want to pitch them a product that is directly related to that freebie. So now maybe we want to have, you know, six emails that are in an evergreen pitch email sequence, but those first two are starting to tease them and warm them up even more focused on the pitch. And then we'll have four pitch emails. And we're always doing these one right after another. So in terms of like time delays, you don't want to wait too long. People are going to forget if you're waiting, you know, a week in between or even several days in between. You're going to want to be very pointed in your copy. Going back to when, you know, Meg and I had her episode and we talked about the 5 email framework and we talked about that offer CTA section of the email. This is where you are not shy. You are telling them exactly what the offer is. You are being very bold. It doesn't have to be sleazy. It can still be very authentic to who you are, but you are telling them, this is the product. This is the great deal that I'm giving you right now. And click here to go and purchase that.
Right. And you can do that with confidence because they just came from being nurtured with you. So you're not this new person in their inbox. They've gotten to know you over the past couple of weeks with those nurtures that you were doing. So you can address them more directly now because they've been walking with you up until this point.
Yeah. And we've started talking about this already a little bit, but Riley and I, our whole team, really, we call this like setup a product flow. So it's one of my favorite things to do when we're like kind of dissecting parts of a business, because I think that so often visionaries tend to create without necessarily thinking about the strategy of how all of this creation can be connected. So what we love to do is take that 1,000 foot view, high level. Okay, let's look at the products that you have and how could we move somebody on a customer journey from one product to another. A great example, one of my clients is she's a family photographer. So she has several different courses that are focused on family photography. One is on posing and one is on business and marketing. Well, we realized, well, her audience, if they don't know how to pose, they don't need the business and marketing course. Like it's kind of silly for them to do those in reverse because they're probably not making enough money on business and marketing to really up-level and like pay for a program like that if they don't feel confident on the client experience side with posing. So in her product flow, we learned, let's offer them posing first. Let's nurture them with YouTube videos and content all about posing and give them the posing experience as an offer first. And then a month later, we'll nurture them and really value add on them around the marketing side of business. And then we offer them the business and marketing. So that's just one example of how you can kind of take that 1,000 foot view and think about your overall customer journey and how you want those things to connect.
And I think what's really important about that is right now, if you're looking at this and feeling like there are so many emails, I just need to start putting these together and putting them out there, I would take a breath and zoom back, like Kat said, and look at your overall customer journey, because you want to be really intentional. If you're going to spend all this time writing these emails, you do want to be really intentional with it so that you know where they're at in the customer journey, and it's worth taking that time, maybe going on a little like couple day getaway, like a business getaway, mm-hmm. where you sit down and focus on where are all the entry points that people can come into my ecosystem, and then where do I want them to end up, and how are we going to get them there, and make sure you're nurturing them along the way in ways that make sense for where they're headed. So I think as important as it is to get these evergreen sequences up and all of these automations, you really do want to be intentional with why you're putting people where.
Absolutely. And I would also say that it's nice to work with where your business strengths are. We talk about that from the visionary integrator standpoint a lot on this podcast of, you know, I want you in your zone of genius. Yes, of course, I want you in your zone of genius. But in this situation, I would also look at, like, if you're thinking about multiple different freebies or a couple of different products and you're kind of trying to decide where to start, what is performing the best? Like, I would look there and be really strategic with something that is proven. It's brought you revenue before. Like, let's not try to like fix the leaky bucket yet. Let's work on like, well, where's the water coming from? Like, let's focus on like the strength that you have in the business and get that funnel rock solid. And then you can build onto that with additional product flow emails and additional lead magnets and other things that could just kind of beef it up all the way around.
Yeah, that's so good. Like, pour like flame on the fire, like more of it, you know. Yes. If it's already working well, like, let's go ahead and pour everything we have into that. That way it frees you up to be able to work on the other weaker sequences later.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've talked about this a little bit, but I want to like laser focus on how do you determine like the order for an evergreen sequence? Like, I mean, you mentioned, which I think it's so smart, like you're not going to pitch a product that doesn't go with the lead magnet, like the way that they came into the email sequence. But I'd love to like pretend I'm a client, or like everybody listening is a client, and let's kind of back it up. And how would we go about just creating the flow of an evergreen nurture sequence?
Right. So typically I would start with where you want them to end up and then work your way backwards. And then I know that we've had previous podcast episodes on like on evergreen nurtures and funnels. So I think that's a great episode to listen to if you're like, how do I create a funnel, like a top of funnel for my evergreen sequence? Mm-hmm. But you'll back your way up to that top of funnel. So initially, what you want at the very top is that how they're coming in to your world. So that evergreen lead magnet, or if they're just coming in through a form on your website, and then you'll work your way towards nurturing, nurture, nurture, pitch, and then nurture again before pitching again. So you always want to make sure that nurtures are sandwiched in between pitches. But yeah, Kat, what do you think about that?
Absolutely. I think, again, I love the idea of like, let's start with where we want them to end up and then work our way from there. So, you know, like, okay, here's the course. This course is, you know, again, going back to like, this is a posing course. So I want them to buy this posing course. So then what nurtures make sense? And then kind of gathering the information that you have, like, do you, again, going to content that you can just repurpose, blog, YouTube, maybe you've got some reels that you could, you know, point them to, like things like that. So let's kind of get yourself a little pool of what could go right before this pitch. And then, okay, now above that, how could I even just get them into my email list? Like, how, like, do I already have a freebie? Do I need a new one? And we can absolutely link the episode you're talking about, Riley, where we really dig into more of the top of funnel and then creating that freebie. And then all of a sudden, those are like your three parts. You've got your top of funnel, you've got that mid nurturing, and then now you've got your pitch. And then if you have additional products, that's where you can start to slowly build on from there, knowing that you're kind of always sandwiching a pitch with nurtures, because we never want to overwhelm with just boom, 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 all of these different things. Like, that's how people unsubscribe or why people unsubscribe. So sandwiching those pitches with nurtures to then lead them from, okay, I just pitched posing, now let me nurture again, to lead them to this next product that I think is going to make the most sense for them.
Right. And I think we also wanted to touch on how to space out in time some of these emails too. So like we said earlier, when someone first comes into a welcome or nurture and they're brand new, you do want to take advantage of that first week of them being there. So you'll probably hit them every day for a couple of days, maybe those 3 to 5 emails. Then after that, you'll let them continue in your regular nurture. So this might be weekly emails, and then those emails are the ones that are leading up to what's going to be the pitch. So in the posing example, it'll be posing tips, posing YouTube videos that you're linking out to, and extra content there before you pitch them in the actual pitch itself. So those pitch emails, typically, again, there's shorter time delays because you're wanting to hit them hard in that week that you're talking about that. So maybe it's, again, around 5 emails where you're emailing them about every day about the course or about whatever paid product it is next. Then when you go back into more nurturing after that, you'll want to pull back a little bit and do those regular nurture emails that are a little bit more spaced out. So whenever you're nurturing, you're giving them a breather and you're helping them to digest content. And whenever you're pitching, those are the shorter time delays in between.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if someone is, you know, listening and they don't have any of this, like I know that we said before, like, you know, we want you to start small. We don't want you to feel overwhelmed with like, wow, goodness, I'm going to be in a copy cave for weeks in order to, you know, get all of this written and, you know, set up, then not just written, but then you have all of the tech and the implementation on, you know, the back end. So let's try to like simplify it a little bit with what are some like just super simple things that someone could do and start doing this week to really set up their evergreen emails for success.
So if you're just starting out and you don't have anything yet, I would say let's start with nurturing. Let's start with getting some emails together where no matter where people are coming onto your list, let's nurture them and help them get to know you. Then from there, so those are your evergreen emails that people, those 3 to 5 emails that people can get nurtured with. Then later you can start adding on the additional nurtures and pitches towards your paid products. But really from the start, it's really important to hook them in and help them to get to know you early on. So that is the first step for you, is starting with nurturing.
I agree. Especially if you don't have a product yet, it's hard to then, obviously you don't have anything to pitch, but then I don't even want you to feel like, well, I don't know where I'm nurturing them to. Like I think right now we're just starting with, let's provide value because you likely have ideas for what your end product would be. And in starting to nurture your audience, it's allowing you to kind of put feelers out there. Mm-hmm. Are people resonating with the topics that you're talking about? Do they want more from you? Do they have more questions? So it's just starting to set yourself up as the expert in whatever that area is, even if there's not an end product for them to go to yet.
Right. You're building good rapport with them. And then you hear a lot of stories about visionaries who are so well connected with their audience. They have like really good like engagement with them. And so this part of starting out is building that good engagement. Get them to reply to your emails. That way you can start getting to know them. And that way, when you do start making products, you're making products for them because you know you have that relationship with them. So by the time you're announcing it, they know you and they're excited about their next step with you.
Yes, love that. And if you're somebody who has a digital product or two, maybe you have your own evergreen email automation, you know, already in your email marketing platform, I'd go in and audit it. Riley mentioned at the beginning of this, you know, one of the first things we do with our clients is what we call a tech audit, where we dig into those in the weeds types of things. And if we're specifically looking at an evergreen funnel, most of the time, a time delay is a problem, you know, so going into your own evergreen funnel and looking at, okay, am I nurturing? Is there a strong call to action? What is the time delay? And kind of re-listen to some of those parts of this episode when you're looking at that funnel and give yourself some constructive feedback and go ahead and make some of those changes right there inside of Kit or inside of Flowdesk as you are looking at that funnel.
Yeah. And when you're looking at that audit, you can look at your email open rates on them, see how well they're doing with like opening, clicking those emails. Then you can also, like we said closer to the beginning of this episode, look at are people buying when they get to the pitch part of it, or is there a drop-off somewhere in there? So really try to be objective when looking at your already established email sequences and nurture flows to make sure that they're actually converting the way you want, and then be willing to change and edit along the way.
Absolutely. And for those of you, I'm trying to think about some other, you know, past clients where we've had situations where, you know, they've had a several different lead magnets and then they get the delivery email and then nothing. You know, I'd also take a look at those too. Like maybe you haven't built out a longer evergreen email funnel afterward. First of all, again, we're not fixing every single thing right now. Like I don't want that to stress you out and give you this laundry list of emails to create. You could do something simple, like how Riley mentioned that welcome sequence before. You could create one 3-email sequence that now all of those lead magnets can get funneled to that one. And that could be like a nice way to have a little bit more consistency. A big problem that I see in online brands is we give them the lead magnet and then what? You know, it's like you work so hard to create this lead magnet and design the landing page and you're working so hard on Instagram to get people in the door, but then what are you doing? And so if you could set up one sequence that several of those all funnel to, that solves that consistency problem right away.
That's great. I think just to echo back with whether you're just getting started or you already have these sequences, you have really great content. And so something that I would say, speaking to people in both camps, are to keep things simple, especially at the beginning. I know that as a visionary, you have lots of ideas, lots of content, lots of products or potential products that you're wanting. So, and don't be careful not to overwhelm your audience right away. Just keep it really simple, handhold them and walk them through everything. So if you're just starting out, that's a really big benefit that you have. You have a blank slate. So let's keep it simple at the beginning. And then if you already have all of these established sequences, zoom out, take a look at them and see how are ways that we can simplify it and make it easy for your people to say yes to the next step with you.
I love it. I feel like the theme of this whole episode was consistency and simplicity, which are just great words to live by. Just in general, but then of course in our digital marketing and our digital products, because so often we make them more complicated than they need to be, or we just forget to be consistent because we've made it so complicated that then we just don't feel like we have the time to do it. And so I think if you can really focus on those two things with your evergreen funnels, you will be in such great shape and your audience is going to be so much happier to hear from you. Like they want to hear from you. And so you can set them up really successfully that way.
Yeah, I love it. I'm going to start making that my mantra that I say to all my clients, consistency and simplicity.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Well, Riley, thank you so much for jumping in today and just really digging into all of the evergreen email flows with me. You guys, if y'all have questions, as I always say, like shoot our team an email, send our team a DM. Like we'd love to help you specifically around this topic. If there's other things that we can dive in like future episodes too, like I'm always open to, you know, specific feedback that you guys have. So let us know what you guys think and tune in for next week's episode. Mm-hmm.